for listening to this message from More to Life Ministries.
We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. This is week 6 that we've been in, and we spoke about all the attributes of the Holy Spirit through John 14, 15, and 16. And the primary attributes that you see in those chapters have to do with the Spirit as it indwells you, the indwelling Spirit, and giving us direction and guidance and comfort and all of the things that He does, bringing conviction on us, and all the direction that is seemingly for us. It literally, you look at all that stuff and say, that's for me, that's for me, that's for me. Thank you, Lord, that's for me, that's for me, that's for me. It's really easy to see all of the elements of the indwelling Spirit that are for us because they are. They are. He's given us His Spirit, literally, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus Himself, to indwell you, to live inside of you. He's given you that. Can we praise Him for that? Praise Him. We need that. We need that. And then the last couple of weeks, we spoke about the fruit of the Spirit and how the Holy Spirit brings fruit. He's the producer of fruit. When we abide, He produces fruit. That's what happens. Praise Him. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control flow out of us because of Him, and only because of Him. And then we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit and power the last couple of weeks and what that looks like. Literally, not Him just being in us, but being on us, resting upon us in power. And we talked about how in that power, that the Holy Spirit shows up. Part of it, the fruit was the oil that allowed us to get along, allowed you to get along with me and me to get along with you, right? But then as that power occurs, it's not about you anymore. Remember last week we talked about that? You've all been given a gift. Acts 2:38, after Peter has preached this message, and they're like, what shall we do now? And he says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit. So you've all been given a gift at that point. Every single one of us, every single one of us received a gift. Some of you still have the gift packed up and never unwrapped it. Some of you unwrapped it, looked at it, and said, I don't need this. It says on the side, this does me no good. Literally, probably said that. This doesn't mean you no good. Because it's not about you. Because any gift that God gifts you with is about His glory and the body. That's why He gives you in power. That's why He gives you any gift. It's so that the body can be ministered to, and so that He might be glorified. It's really not about you. Not about me. Not about me. So you'll hear more about that as we go through today. But I want you to turn to John 7, if you're not there already. Verse 37. And I preached on this passage. Love this passage. I preached on it a year or so ago, a year and a half ago. And there's all kind of deep background stuff, and I'm not going to go into all the background, but I'll just tell you a little bit. It's the Feast of the Tabernacle, the Feast of the Booths, and they've been 7 days of every day they're coming out, and they do this big ceremony where they dump the water out on the ground to remember how God provided water for them while they're in the wilderness, and it's a big deal, a big deal. And then the 8th day is a really special day where they look forward to what is to come, and all of a sudden, when the 8th day comes, before they can pour out any water, Jesus stands up and shouts, and they must have went, what is that? And He stands up, and this is what He says. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and He cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Hang on to that. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Anybody here believe in him? Out of your heart should flow rivers of living water. But verse 39, it says, now this he said about the Spirit. And in my Bible, it's a capital S. Hopefully, it is in yours, too. In other words, this he said about the Holy Spirit. Not about your spirit. Not about my spirit. This he said about the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not yet went to the cross. He had not yet left us. And remember, we went through all of that in John 14, 15 and 16, and he says, hey, I'm coming, chapter 16. I'm leaving, but it's good for you that I'm leaving because I'm going to send you the Helper. I'm going to send you the Paracletos. I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit who will be with you forever. That's what he's going to do. So that had not happened yet. They had not received the Holy Spirit. But he spoke of it, and he says, when that happens, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. So what should be happening, and we're going to come back to this at the very end of the message today, is for the church, God's people, he's the living water. He's given you his Spirit to live inside of you. So out of you, he didn't say, make a big swimming pool in your heart and I'm going to live there. That's great. It's great that we have that indwelling Spirit. It is. But he says, out of you, so he doesn't want you to just receive it and for him to be in you, but he wants you to give it away. He wants it to flow out of you. He wants you to be in ministry, an able-bodied minister, a minister of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5 tells us. So he wants it to pour out of you. And it's almost like you get this picture like this waterfall pouring into you and this waterfall going out. Because you just can't hold it all. You can't. And you know, the funny thing about that is the same way with this blessing. If you decide to hold it all, if you decide just to give me, my name is Jimmy, and I'm going to hang on to it. If you decide to do that, he'll go, I guess you got enough. I'll just stop pulling into you. But if you'll learn to keep your hands open, not just in giving, if you'll keep your hands open in blessing, if he blesses you, you bless someone. If he gifts you, you gift someone. You continue to use that for his glory with your hands open, and it will pour out of you as living water. That's what John chapter 7 just told us. That's the intent of the Holy Spirit. That's why he gives him to you, not just to be with you and in you, which is what he promised in John 14. He is with you and he is in you, and he will comfort and guide and counsel. He'll do all of that stuff. But he wants you to let him go. Not just to receive, but to release to those around you. Amen? That's the purpose behind it. So let's look at Romans chapter 12. Now, I'm not going to go to Ephesians 4. Several months back, maybe last year, we spent forever. Some of the guys in our group, because we just went through my small group, and some of the guys in our group said, haven't we spent like a year in Ephesians? We were pretty close. We are all three of us, James and Paul and I, took time and we went through Ephesians. And we spent a lot of time on Ephesians 4, and we spent a lot of time on the fact that there are gifts given, ministerial gifts. People were gifted in order to teach and preach and evangelize and prophet and all of the things, the apostles and all of the giftings that came, the shepherding, all of that that came about that was given to a minister, what we call a ministerial gift. Not just for leadership, but for anyone that chooses to minister. Anyone. And some of those same gifts are going to be repeated in this chapter. As a matter of fact, prophecy, as we're going to talk about it, it's in all three. You find it in Ephesians 4, you find it in Romans 12, you find it in 1 Corinthians 12. And so, we're not going to read the Ephesians 4 chapter. We're going to concentrate on Romans 12 today, and next week we're going to hit hard the motivational gift that we find in 1 Corinthians 12. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, now, I'm going to start in verse 3, but I think it's good to remember verse 1 and 2 because it's in light of that. Verse 1 and 2, where you're encouraged to give your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. You're encouraged to make that big transformation and the renewing of your mind by not being conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but being transformed, letting him transform you. That's what you see in the first two verses. So in light of that, verse 3, Paul says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Let me say that again. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Do you know what really godly people, people who pursue the Lord, people who go to church regularly, people who are trying to stay in the Word, people who you look at them and say, they're walking the walk. Do you know what they fall to the most? Pride. Self-righteousness. Judgment. There are the three things that I told y'all way back 4 years ago when I was in the hospital and cut with COVID. Those are the three things God dealt with my heart on. The things that he had dealt with me before on pride, self-righteousness, judgment. They're all about what Paul writes about when he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Hey, don't take yourself too seriously, bud. God, you're not a first-round draft pick. God didn't get a body with you. First pick in the draft. Yep. No. No, not even close. Not even close. For every single one of us, the same. Paul's saying take an attitude of humility. He just said, live your life as a living sacrifice. Every day, die to self. Every day, lay yourself on the altar. Now, you're alive, so you got the choice of crawling off if you want to. But he's saying, choose to lay on the altar every day and die to self, right? So don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, verse 3, but with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Do you know that God's assigned each of you a measure of faith? What do you mean? You mean some people got more faith than others? Yep. They do. Do you know you can grow your faith, though? You can exercise your faith. Listen, it's the same way in the gym. Some of you go to the gym regularly, and I've grown up around the gym all my life as a coach. I know all about it. Some guys, could go in, and they can lift a day a week and gain muscle, and it just hangs off of them, and they just have those natural genetics. And then there's others, like me. I was one of those guys where I could work my head off and miss one day and lose it all. I mean, I'm gaining everything, and then all of a sudden, I'm gone for a little bit, and what happens? You know, it just falls away. You can grow in your faith. We're going to find out next week that faith is actually a gift of the Spirit. Now, everyone has faith, a measure of faith, but some people have an exceptional amount of faith that God chooses to use in a mighty way. So faith is part of it. But you've all been given a measure of faith. It's one reason that in just a little while, when we talk about the use of these gifts, that you have to take into account your faith and the faith of the person that might be receiving when you're sharing with them. Faith. If you share a word with somebody, do you think it matters what their faith is? Yeah, it matters what your faith is, too. And God tells us to be aware of that. Even in our presentation, even in our approach, to be aware of that. So, back to Romans 12. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same functions, so we, though we are many, are one in body and Christ. We talked about this a little last week, so I'm going to move on through it. Individually members one of another. One big body, the body of Christ. This happens to be the part of the body that meets at Mortal Life. That's all. Right? Not only are we one big body of many members, with many different talents, with many different gifts, with many different callings, not only are we that, but in the body of Christ, which extends all over the city of Okeechobee, all over the state of Florida, all over the United States of America, all over the world, the body of Christ, there is one body of Christ. Many members. Let me say that again. There's one body. I'm not talking about denominations. There's one body. If they believe in Jesus and you believe in Jesus and have a relationship with Him, you're part of the body and they're part of the body. They may worship differently than you. They may be exposed to different things. They may be against certain things. You may have differences of opinions about things. But listen, my wife, I'm a quote friend, she always says this. Don't amputate the part of the body that you don't understand. Just because you don't understand them, just because, well, I don't know if I'd do it that way. No, they're part of the body. Nobody wants to go lopping their little toe off. It hurts. It's part of the body. You can't do that. So don't even speak bad about a part of the body that you don't understand. If they're part of the body, build them up. Pray for them and encourage them. They may not align completely. We're not uniform. Right? We're not uniform. That's why there's many different churches, come from many different directions, many different backgrounds. We're not uniform. but we're supposed to be one. One in Him. One. So, look with me here. We got a lot to cover this morning. I'm going to blend this around a little bit. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given. I don't know how many people are here this morning. It doesn't really matter. 500, 600, whatever it is. You got different gifts. All of you. If you're here, and God gave you, He gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit, believer. If you're a believer here, and you have a relationship with Christ, you've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Same gift. We all got that gift. But the Holy Spirit manifests it in different ways and gives you access. And I believe that we have access to all the gifts. I believe that once you're given the Holy Spirit, you have access to all of them. And He'll gift you as He wills and as you make yourself available. I got a picture. This may not be very holy, but I'm just going to tell you. Okay? I got a picture in my mind as I was studying this the other day of, as it works with the Lord, there's not a big ladder that we climb up, you know? We're not climbing a ladder to Him. Really, there's a limbo bar. Y'all know what limbo is? I can't do it very good. Anybody know what a limbo bar is? You go to skating rink when you're a kid, those of you my age and older, and you go under the limbo bar. Listen, there's a bar, and it keeps getting lowered because we're going to lower ourselves before Him. How low can you go? How low can you go? How humble can you be? Because God gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So we want to make sure that we're coming in and putting Him in His proper place. Even the Lord's Prayer, it begins with, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It's all vertical. It's all about Him, and I'm here. Right? Yes, God loves you. He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. But He's God and you're not. And we got to establish that right up front. Right up front. So, having gifts that differ, all kind of different gifts, let us use them. Say that with me. Let us use them. Let us use them. Let us use them. Well, all of y'all are part of the nest, right? Last week I told you were each one of you was an each. You are. You're also part of us. So let us use them. Let us use them. And then He begins. And I'm going to go through a list of gifts here that I'll tell you right to begin with. I don't believe this list is exhaustive. Meaning, I don't think this is all of them. I just think this is what Paul wrote to the church at Rome. He's going to add to at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I think there's a couple of more that aren't even listed that I would call spiritual gifts. And there's probably more than that the Lord will show us. Is there really any way for me to put Him in a box? No. He can get this however He wants to, right? He really can. He's God. We're not. Remember we start with that? So, having gifts that differ, let us use them if prophecy in proportion to our faith. Now, I want to talk about prophecy for just a second because prophecy always gets a bad name because we immediately go to thinking about the crazies. We go to think, what, Madam Rose has got a place down on the corner. That's not prophecy. That's sorcery. Okay? That's not prophecy. That's of the devil. That's not of God. Prophecy always points back to Jesus. Prophecy has to do with truth. Okay? It goes back to truth. People with the gift of prophecy have a strong grasp of truth and desire to have a strong grasp of truth. It is not future telling. It is not foretelling. It is forthtelling. It is taking the truth of God's Word and bringing it about in a way that is truthful, honest, accurate. Accuracy. You know, accuracy matters when it comes to God's Word. I'm not talking about getting twisted up over what translation you read. Brandon read to you from the New Living Translation a while ago. I love that, by the way. Because as he read Isaiah 43, it was grabbing me. I know part of that passage in the King James because I memorized it when I was a kid. I read it out of the ESV. He read it out of the NLT, and it was grabbed me all over again. So I'm not talking about different translations. I'm talking about the truth of who God is. Spoken not only through His Word, but spoken through Him as He chooses to speak it. You see, God still speaks, and through His Word is one way that He speaks. It's the primary way that He speaks. He'll never speak contrary to His Word. He'll never give you a word to give somebody that doesn't line up with Scripture. So if you think you have the gift of prophecy, and yes, sometimes He will have you go and speak something to a person, but it will never not line up with truth. If so, it's not from Him. It's not from Him. As a matter of fact, we're going to see in some of the other gifts that we talk about, some of those other gifts, like teaching, like mercy, like exhortation, they're a part of the gift of prophecy. They really are. To present truth in a way that is legible, that you can understand it, you can grasp it. So here's the deal about prophecy. I'm going to turn over you real quick. I got two scriptures for you. 2 Peter, all the way in the back. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Really cool little passage back here in the back of the book. And Peter's writing, verse 20, it's going to come up on your screen. He says, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. Now, we're not talking about the interpretation of the tongue. He's just talking about, you just can't make something up and say it's prophecy. No prophecy of Scripture comes from somebody's own interpretation. If I'm preaching, or if anyone else is preaching, and something they're preaching doesn't line up with Scripture, call them on it. Feel free to call me on it. Okay? Matter of fact, you can run if you want to. You can challenge me. I'm okay with that. I really am. Because I'm not the end-all authority. He is. He is. So the Berean people, they were encouraged, and Paul spoke of them because they always measured everything against Scripture. So we want to do the same thing, always made against Scripture. So the second part of that is that he says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God, holy men. Okay? Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Spirit. So what is prophecy? It's holy men foretelling what the Holy Spirit tells them to say. It's a man who's been with God. Remember the description of Peter, James, and John after they've been arrested, and here they are, and they couldn't believe. They were just unschooled and ordinary men, unschooled and ordinary men, but they took note that they'd been with Jesus. They weren't educated men. They weren't Pharisees. They didn't go to school. They were fishermen. But they took note that they had been with Jesus. If you've been with Jesus, if you're living your life as someone who is with Jesus, spends time with Him, you're holy because He makes you holy. And when the Holy Spirit directs you, which He can, to share something in truth, share it according to your faith and according to the faith of the one that is to receive it. Are you following me? So make sure that you share. One more place in Scripture real quick, 1 Corinthians 14:3. So get back to 1 Corinthians. Paul's doing some explaining in 1 Corinthians. And verse 12, he talks about the gifts and the body. Verse 13, he talks about love and how you do it. Verse 14, he gives some direction about how things could occur. And he talks specifically in verse 3 about prophecy. And he says, on the other hand, one who prophesies speaks to people for, and he gives three things here. In the ESV, he calls them upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Okay? Some of you in different translations, you might see edification, you might see exhortation. It's for your upbuilding. It's for three things that he lists. Now, it can be other things. Sometimes a prophet might bring a word, and it's a word like Jeremiah brought. Okay? I mean, it might be a word of, you better wake up. You better watch out. But for the most time in prophecy, so it tells me if I am bringing an exhortation, which we'll see in just a second as encouragement, if I'm speaking a word of encouragement to someone that the Holy Spirit has directed me to say, I'm really speaking prophecy. I'm really exercising the gift of prophecy. So the gift of prophecy is not something to be afraid of. We started last week with this. There's no reason to be afraid of the gift, because the gift is the Spirit of the living God. Why would we be afraid? No reason to be afraid of anything. As a matter of fact, some of you use the gift of prophecy all the time, and you don't even recognize that you're using the gift of prophecy. You don't even know it. Some of you edify people. You lift them up. There's always an uplifting. That's who you are. Some of you encourage folks. You come alongside them. Some of you console. That's the gift of mercy, you know? We're going to talk about it today. A consolation. You're consoling at the heart. The people that work in grief here, I guarantee you, they have the gift of mercy. They're the gift of mercy. They bring a consoling arm. They wrap around and they love and they meet you right where they're at. And any word that they speak is a gift of prophecy. Are you following me? Prophecy is not something to be afraid of, is it? Surely not. Now, it's also one that gets misused lots of times. If you feel like you have the gift of prophecy, and you just feel like you need to go say something and God's going to use you, you better shut up. Okay? You need to hear that he told you to go say it, not you just feel like you need to go say something. Because there's lots of times that I feel like I need to go say something. That's my flesh. My flesh is saying, go say it. You should say it. You should tell him. No, I need to help. If I hear from the Lord, it's going to sound very differently. If I hear what he's told me from the Lord, if I have a word, and we're going to talk next week about how to approach that, if I have a word that I'm supposed to share with somebody, it's going to be delivered in love. It's going to be delivered always in love. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 tells us. So, if prophecy, let him prophesy according to his faith, according to the faith that God has given him. And we won't take as long on all of them. Let me flip back to where I'm supposed to be, Romans 12. There we go. I was looking down in 1 Corinthians going, where am I at? Romans 12, if service in our serving, you might have ministry. Okay, that just means to pay people, right? No. Service people, we have a church full of servants. And may your tribe increase. I'm serious. I feel like I want to be a servant. I want to be a servant. I want to serve people. To serve people means you see a need and you step to it. It might not be, oh, I'm incredibly gifted at taking out garbage. I'm a gifted. I got it. I get it. I'm incredibly gifted at parking cars. No, but there's a need, and so you see the need and you step to the need. You might be the person that walks through here every week. We all know that there's people that replace the paper towels in there, in the toilet paper, every week. And if it runs out, it's because you're using too much. But literally, they do every week. Every week, they have to. They have to. So, there's people that do that, that walk through here and pick up cups after we're done, because y'all leave your cups. Sometimes. There's people that say, this is an area where I can serve the body, and I'm going to serve the body. Amen? Amen. So service is broad. There's lots of things that are part of service. You can have, by the way, you don't have to just have one gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit, he is very diverse. And he'll gift you many different ways. It's natural. When he teaches in his teaching, friend last week told me that she said years ago, the Lord's gift in so many ways, that when we're coming out of a Baptist background where we don't believe in gifts, any Baptist in here don't say anything because you know that you were taught that some of these ceased at one point. They didn't. But that's what we were taught. Okay? So we come out of that background. That's what I grew up learning until the Lord showed me different through his word. He had to say that. And I'm not speaking ill against any denomination because of wonderful people that I love dearly. I love dearly. I'm so thankful for the upbringing, the solid upbringing that I got in many areas. But there were other things that God had to show me different. So if you come out of a certain denomination, when we're first learning about gifts, a friend said to me, okay, I got the teaching gift. She's 37 years a teacher, so she knows that must be my gift, and I'm done. I'm good. I just have that gift, and I'll just call that as mine, and I don't have to worry about all those others. No, the gift was the Holy Spirit, and He gifted her in so many more ways than that, and He's bringing them to light. And I told you last week she began to pray about the gift of exhortation, and God's given her the gift of exhortation. So that's what He wants to do, because the gift is not about who? It's about everybody else. So, the one who teaches, obviously, about disseminating information. There's people that are wonderful teachers and talented teachers. That doesn't mean it's a gift from God. If they don't know God, it's not a spiritual gift. It's just a talent that they have. They studied hard in school, and maybe they have the ability to communicate well, and praise God, He uses them, because God uses lost people. But for it to be a spiritual gift, it's a gift from the Holy Spirit, right? And a gift from the Holy Spirit always points back to Jesus. So even if you're teaching algebra, or if you're teaching littles, which we'll talk about in a second, that anything that you share, it ultimately is going to give glory to Christ. Now we're talking about spiritual gifts. Do you get it? You see the difference? And God uses that. Spiritual gift of teaching is also going to be in truth, so it's going to have some prophetic part to it, always. The one who exerts in his exhortation. Exhortation is encouragement, to be an encourager, a great encourager. One who builds up, who lifts up. I was telling my class, my Wednesday night class the other night, that I can remember well, and some of y'all know this man, Ellis Dean. Ellis Dean came as an associate pastor years ago, and he was an associate pastor with Pastor Fred at First Baptist. Pastor Fred, who loved the Lord, taught me how to love Him back. He taught me how much the Lord loved me, and I learned to love Him back. That was a change in my thinking. It was a radical change in my thinking that all of a sudden I fell in love with Jesus. That's when everything began to change in my heart. I got saved when I was young because I didn't want to go to hell. I was like this all the time in my walk. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Because I just thought He was up there ready to smack me down. And I had the fear of God early on. I knew that. But I didn't love Him until I was 27 years old. At 27, 28, 29, Fred Treadwell taught me how to love Jesus. And he taught me how much He loved me and how much He forgiven me. And then, like Luke chapter 7, the woman that falls at His feet and is weeping and anoints His feet with her tears, she loved much because she'd been forgiven much. I came to grasp that. So He taught me how to love people and love the Lord. And then Ellis Dean taught me how to love people. It was a big change in my life at that point because He loved people so well. He had the gift of exhortation. You would have a 10-minute conversation with Him and you'd walk away feeling better about yourself. Because He just built you up in the Lord. It's what He did. But at the very first, I get to preach to you now, praise God, but the very first time we're in class with Fred, and Ellis said, "Hey, why don't you come over? I'm going to start a class over here, and we're going to teach this strange thing called the five love languages, and I want you to come over and help me teach it." Week one, Ellis taught. Week two, he handed me the book and said, "I can't be in there today. Why don't you leave them?" That was the beginning at that point. It was the beginning. And he just passed it right off. And he said, "You can do it. You were afraid. You'll do it together." And he said, even though I was a teacher, I didn't like talking in front of people. I really didn't. The Lord changes things, doesn't He? Amen. So the gift of exhortation is important. Do you know that you can speak life over someone and it can change their life? It can literally change their life. You have the power. Your tongue has the power of life and death. Speak life. When you learn to speak life over someone, all of a sudden their entire outlook is changed. Because you don't know where someone's at. You don't know. They can come in with a smile on their face, but they could have been thinking about something very dark right before them. You don't know. But your words have the power to change that. Listen, there's a lot of gifts that you could ask for, but then learn expectation. Learn to build up on that. My goodness, it changes everything. Changes everything. The one who contributes in his generosity. Listen, we're all called to give, right? Let me say that again. We're all called to give, right? If you're a believer, and this is not a sermon on tithing, but tithing is legit. It's from the Lord. It's honoring to the Lord. He asks you for the first fruits, and he prays him. He can always, let me just say this, he can always, and I know this is hard to believe, but he will always make 90 go farther than 100 will. He always does. He always does. He has for us our entire married life. He always makes 90 go further than 100. But this type of giving is not what he's talking about. The gift of giving is those people who God has specifically gifted to give above and beyond their time. And this church has many of you, and many of you, and I thank God for you. And I see it. And that just, the first thing that comes to mind is that must be the rich people, right? Nope. The people in Macedonia, Paul looked at the people in Macedonia and he says, even in your poverty, even in your poorness, even where you were at, you gave above and beyond. And I just want to commend you for that. So God can give the gift of giving above and beyond to people that don't have a lot. And the Lord will bless, he'll bless more than you can possibly imagine. Don't look down on the gift of giving if you feel like the Lord's given that to you. It's part of the way he takes care of the body. It's also part of the way he takes care of the body when the rest of the body's not giving. When they're being disobedient in what God's called them to do. But we shouldn't have to. It should be above and beyond that outreach could happen even greater. And I'm not preaching down to you now. I'm just speaking honestly. In the church in America, and this is not about tithing, but in the church in America, only about 11.5 to 12% of the people actually tithe. Church of America. In Mortal Life, it's a little higher than that, praise God. You think, well, how do you know that? I don't know the individuals that give. But we have people that do because they record. And that number, praise God, is a little bit higher than that, but not much. Not much. All you can trust in what I can say. Again, last word on that to the giver. It's hard to convince someone not giving to begin giving. It's really hard. But it's impossible to teach a giver to stop. You can't do it. Somebody that's been a giver, they won't stop. They won't back up because they've seen the blessing in the hand of God. So giving in excess, that is a gift that God gives, and he gives to the body with a specific purpose, and it's all to his glory, the gift of leadership. The gift of leadership. To lead with zeal. To lead with diligence. Not to stop. Listen, I was talking to the Lord yesterday, and yesterday morning, praying with the group, and they were praying over her, and praise God for the people that prayed over her then. And I was just at home, and I just had a sweet time with the Lord as I was studying back through with and he showed me some things, and one of them I'm going to share with you a little at the end of the service. But he showed me something right here, just in the way of an illustration. A leader is a pace setter. They set the pace. We used to have, when I was at John L. Leonard as a football coach years ago, I was also a track coach. Now, I didn't know much about track as a whole, but I had some great assistants, praise God. And one of the great assistants was a distance runner, and he was in charge of our distance guys. And we won multiple state championships with our distance guys. They were good. So running the 2 mile, anybody want to sign up for that? As a race, running the 2 mile. Running a 2 mile is a difficult, it's a long thing. It's one that you have to pace yourself, wouldn't you say? And it's not about just finishing. For them, it's about winning. Well, we had 3 young men that Jamie and Chris and Ryan were their names, and they were outstanding. But Jamie won more than any of them, but the others, they took turns. They would sometimes win that event. They were outstanding in the distance runs. We had another young man named Kevin that never won a race. But those 3 Kevin won because Kevin was a leader. Because Coach taught him to go out and set the pace. He could set the pace, and for a mile and a half, he would set a pace that would cause them to run faster than they've ever run. And he didn't have the kick to finish. But for a mile and a half, he would lead the pack, and they would run at a pace faster than they knew they could. And then one of them would pass eventually, and they would kick, and they would finish strong. Listen, as pastors at this church, I believe there's some strong leaders, praise God, among our elders. And we've got some strong young men, lots of them, 6, 7, 8, 9 of them below us. And what should happen is they should go blowing past us. I mean, blow past us. As we continue to minister and pour it in, there's going to be a day when we just say, you take it. You go ahead. Because we will far surpass anything that we've done. They will far surpass communication in the way that we can. Because we're just setting a pace, that's all. We're setting a pace for the congregation. We want you to far surpass where you think you can go. We want to set a pace that will cause you to move faster than you knew that you can move. Amen? A leader, the gift of leadership can actually leaders all over the congregation. So many of you are leaders. In your own, whatever your, it is you're doing, whether it's leader in service, whether it's a leader in children's ministry, whether it's a leader, whatever, you're a leader, and the idea of being a leader is not to continue to lead forever, but to make sure it not only are there people following you, there's people that should pass you. If they don't pass you, you're not leading right. They should. They should be ready to take that mantle and move on. Amen? Almost done. Maybe. Mercy. The ability to connect with someone in a bad state. The ability to connect. I spoke a little bit last week about how that God uses it different with different people. And so he gets a nurse with the gift of mercy, and she's able to mercifully take care of someone. And then he might get a counselor or a pastor with the gift of mercy, and it uses it in a different way. And the gift of mercy is not pity. Okay, pity comes back to self-righteousness, and you're looking down on someone in a situation. The gift of mercy is the ability to connect with someone right where they're at. Right where they're at, to see them as an image bearer of the Most High. No matter what their state is, no matter what they're in, no matter what their plight is, despite their plight, you are going to connect with them in a merciful way. And literally, heaven flowing through you. You're probably going to speak something in the way of mercy, consoling, in the way of mercy, uplifting, which is prophecy. So again, some of you speak prophecy. When I was in the hospital 4 years ago, there were multiple nurses, and some of them are in this congregation. One of them is here today. And there were multiple nurses that would come in, and they would lay hands on me and pray over me. And God used them. Because there were times I would lay prone. I had to lay prone on my stomach. Because that was what would break up the COVID mess in your lungs. And so I'm prone, I'm on my stomach. And, you know, and face buried in this pillow-looking thing. And they come in, and I just feel a hand on my back. And sometimes it was a silent prayer. And sometimes it was an out loud prayer. But most of the time, it was while my mind was dark. While my mind was discouraged. And my mind was wondering, am I ever going to get out of here? The gift of mercy that God used in a mighty way. In a mighty way. Pray for me. Listen, if God gets you in that way, do it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 talks about us bearing with one another, bearing one another's burden. To bear a burden is to show mercy. To show mercy to someone in need. You're lifting up their burden. Listen, some of you got broad shoulders. You can carry a lot of weight, and you walk around carrying a lot of weight for other people. Praise God. Let that be to His glory, right? Gift of mercy. Use it. Mercy exhausts the list at the beginning of Romans, but if you flip over, maybe, well, in my Bible you flip over, but look at verse 13. After verses 9 through 13, Paul talks about love being genuine and trying to outdo one another in brotherly affection and all of those things, showing honor to one another, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, constant in prayer. But then verse 13, he says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. I think hospitality is a spiritual gift. Many of you in this congregation have the gift of hospitality. It's a gift. It's kind of along the lines of giving, but you're willing to take what God has given you. If it's a home, and you said, I'll open up my home. Please come and have a Bible study there. I'll open up my home. Three different people have opened up their home and invited my wife there while people prayed over her in the last week. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Listen, why don't we do that all the time? Because hospitality doesn't just have to be about having a meal. Having a meal is great. It's wonderful to have a meal together, to fellowship together. That was part of what you see in Acts chapter 2 in the first church. There was always a healthy amount of fellowship. Praise God for that. But why don't we just get together and pray? Pray for one another. It's powerful when God's body gets together and says, we're going to concentrate in prayer. We're going to cry out to Him in prayer. So I think hospitality is a spiritual gift that God gives people a certain amount of in order to, for the good of the body. Again, now there's people that throw parties that aren't for the body. They're just to throw a party and they're great hosts and hostesses and that's wonderful. And I'm talking about the people within the body that God uses for the body to be uplifted. Thank you. Thank you. That's a spiritual gift. Exercise it. Open your home. You may say, I can't teach a small group, but I got a house where people can meet. Wonderful. We could use that. So, real quick, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Bring it this way. At the end of 1 Corinthians 12, as Paul's recounting things, he's already shared now the gifts that are manifestational in nature, that we're going to look at next week. And he says in verse 28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing. And then he adds two more, helping and administrating in various kinds of tongues. And then he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret, but earnestly desire the higher gift? The answer to all these questions is no. Okay, all don't do that. They could, but they don't. God doesn't always gift everyone in every way, and He gifts us differently. We've already discussed that. But there are two things added there. We're going to come back to that next week. Helping and administration. The gift of help is the ability to come up alongside. You see a need or you see someone in need and you come up alongside them and say, I'm going to be a help to them. Aaron had the gift of help. He says, I'll come up alongside Moses. I'll be your voice. I'll come up alongside and do that. That you see spiritual gifts throughout Scripture. The next one, administration. I think Moses' father-in-law had the gift of administration. He said, hey, listen, you're going to wear yourself out if you keep doing this. Divide these people up in 50s, and we will go from there, okay? Because you can't do this. And he had the ability, the gift of administration is someone who has the ability to see big picture at the same time detail. They're a big picture person, a detail person. They can pick out things that might be a hazard ahead of time, might be a trip hazard, or literally trip you up. Things that might be a bottleneck, and they can help with that. Those are much needed in the body. The gift of help person sees things. You know, okay, I'm being funny again, but some of you can walk past something and never see it. you walk right past it. Oh, there's trash. Walk right past it. We can pick it up and take it to garbage. We're just going to walk past it. Most people are that way. But then there's some people that go, you know what? I should pick that up and take it to garbage. There's people that can walk past other people that are hurting and never see them. They're hurting. Some of you don't wear it. I mean, we wear it. We can't hide it real good. Some people have a poker face and you'd never know it. And they just smile and I'm fine and everybody's fine and we're just going to be fine. But other people, you can see it on their face that they're hurting. And some folks can walk past them and ignore the fact that they're hurting. Or they have a need. Some people see it. The Holy Spirit sees it. He's the gift, remember? If you'll listen to Him, He'll let you see it. If you'll listen to Him, He'll direct your steps and all of that. Now, I also believe there's a couple of other, there's two other gifts that I'm going to name. There's probably multitudes that aren't named as gifts in Scripture. I think there's a special spiritual gift of prayer. Now, follow me. We're all called to pray, right? We're supposed to pray without ceasing, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 6. I'm supposed to pray without ceasing. All of us are called to pray. But there's some people that God just gives a special dispensation, a special anointing to pray. And I mean, they're prayer warriors. They go to the mat and they stay on the mat. And they reach up to heaven and they reach out and touch you. And they are intercessors like you wouldn't believe. God's given them that gift. And we got some of those in this church. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Some of them are on our prayer team. Thank you, Lord, for that. That they're able to do that. That there is a special gift of prayer that goes far beyond just the fact that we're called to pray. That they know they're gifted to pray. And I'm not saying they can pray more eloquently than someone else. I'm saying they wear the floor out with their knees. They wear the floor out. Remember that scene years ago when I forget which movie it was, but Fireproof, I think it was. And it was baked in the room. They had a prayer room. And they went in that room, and it was like, it's baked in the walls. Glory. That's where she put, yeah. It's baked in the walls. What is it? War room, thank you. One of those movies. Yeah. It was great. But the point was, she was a warrior. Gift of prayer. There's one other one that is really, I don't even know what to call it. I'll just tell you. I wrote down this little thing that was kind of catchy. I'll call it CQ. It stands for Clearly Communicating with Children. I think that's a gift. I'm not kidding you. The people that work in our children's ministry that are really stinking good at it. I know Amanda Lay she's got this all over her. She can clearly communicate with the heart of a child. That's a gift, and it's a spiritual gift. But she does it back to His glory for the good of the body. Amen. And there are many of you that are gifted in that way. Use that. There are so many more that I know that God has gifted this body with. But use them. All right, last thing I'm drawing to a close. Listen, the gifts are not standalone. They're not standalone. They're meant to be used in conjunction with one another. But it's not just a one and done. Like when Fran, we were talking about her, I'm teaching, and I admit she knows that's not true, because she knows how God uses her in so many different ways now, and He wants to use you in so many different ways. So you might all of a sudden see a need as the gift of help, and you step to that need. You're quick to step to it. That's what someone with help does, too. They see it, and they go, somebody else get that. Now, the gift of help says, I get it. And they're quick to step there. And then once they're there, the Lord may direct them to speak to it in a word of encouragement and exhortation. And God uses that right then. He may give them the gift of mercy to connect with them right where they're at, right in that moment. It may be that He exercises the gift of giving and says, help them financially or whatever it might be. Any of those things, my point is, the Holy Spirit's the gift. And He can gift you however He wants to. Amen? in the moment for the need, for the good of the body. That's what he wants to do. Now, I want to share this with you, and I'm not a person that reads from my journal. I'm not a person that journals all the time. But today I want to read something to you from my journal, because I believe yesterday I told Fran when she got back, and she had a sweet time praying with ladies, and I had a sweet time with the Lord. My eyes were full of tears because the Lord had really spoken to me on a lot of levels as I was studying, not just about what I preached this morning, but he's so good to spend time in his presence. It's so good. But I told her, I said, honey, I think the Lord gave me a vision. And I'm not one that says that. I really think it was a vision. Like, I could see it in my mind's eye. The Lord spoke it to me as I was studying John chapter 7 about the river. He just gave me this look. And so I was journaling as he's doing this. And I just started writing. I just wrote down, and I want to just read it to you because I think the last part of it is especially for this church. I think all of it for the church, but some of it was directed to me, and you'll see. This is what I wrote down. I see a great and mighty river flowing from the throne of God. We know that. Revelation, right? We know it does. It is the river of life. The waters are alive as the Spirit of the living God is the flow. I saw it flow from heaven all the way down into present day earth. I see wellsprings beginning to bubble up in the hearts of His people, the church. These wellsprings become tributaries into the river. Some of them great and mighty, ever growing and expanding. Some of them just crippled, as they're just beginning to flow. Some of them, sadly, a small puddle that occasionally has a bubble that comes to the surface. There's a multitude of tributaries as far as the eye can see. I wondered where my tributary was and what did it look like. The Lord quickly reminded me, it's not about you. Isn't that just like the Lord? I quickly repented. He said it was about Him. And He said, teach my people to let it flow. Lead them to release my power and join me in the mighty river of life. And at that point in my writing, I just started praising Him. I said, Lord, let it flow. Let me teach them, lead, instruct, encourage, prophesy to the people that they will let your river flow as well. And then He showed me this. He said, then the Lord showed me what it looks like when His church collectively let the river flow through the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's water. Lots and lots of moving water, all flowing in the same direction, but coming from all different directions. It was so broad that you couldn't tell where any of it came from. You couldn't see a single head spring, but you could see the flow. But you see it come together to move in power, all in the same direction. Lord, let it be. Amen. That's what He showed me. Afterwards, I was just talking to Him and just asking, Lord, what is that? It's obvious what part of it is, but what do you want me to share? And I think it's just the encouragement of this. When this church, the part of the body that meets here, and that's the part that I get to share with. And there's, again, part of the body all over the city, all over the state, all over the country, all over the nation, all over the world. But in this part of the body, if we will be completely surrendered in love before Him, if we will allow Him to do what He wants to do in our life, if we will, like I said last week, the only plan that the first church has was listen to the Holy Spirit and do what He said. That was their whole plan, you know. That was the whole, everything. They didn't have anything else. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do what He said. If we would learn to do that, the river of the Holy Spirit would flow out of this place and into this city. And as far as you can see, and the Lord would add to their number daily those who would be saved. And not only being saved, but being set free. Because there's many that have come to salvation and they haven't been set free yet. They go free from a positional standpoint in heaven, but they're still in a battle here because they won't release things to the Lord that He wants them to release. Listen, this church can be a catalyst for that. I don't know what it looks like. I don't care what it looks like heavenly because it's not about us. But I do know that we're supposed to surrender and be willing to allow Him to do whatever He wants to do through us. Amen? That's our role. That's our role. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. And I'm going to open this altar. I don't always open the altar at the end, but I'm going to open this altar. And last week I talked to you about how the emptying of yourselves, asking to be filled by Him, and you can come and do that right now. If you want to be a bigger tributary, if you want to be a bigger river, Lord, flow through me. Let Your Spirit flow through me. Fill me, Lord. Less of me, more of You. Come on. Come on. Let's come to the altar right now. As many as would. And while your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, and the praise team is making their way up. If there's any here that don't know Christ, you don't know Christ, but you want to. I know that today was a message to the saints. It was a message speaking to the people already having the Holy Spirit. But there may be some here that don't know Him. And the Lord drew you today. His Holy Spirit was drawing you. And maybe you've been here before, and maybe you've known to grip that chair because you don't want to put your hand in the air. Listen, God is calling you. He loves you. He's seen everything you've ever done. And He loves you anyway. And He offers you forgiveness. He offers you grace. If you would simply say, I'm a sinner that needs a Savior. I'm ready to repent and follow You, turn and walk with You. I'm ready to give You all the keys. If that's you today, and you've never given your life to Christ, what you'd like to, if you lift your hand, we'll come to you. Someone will come to you, just one question. You lift your hand, we'll come to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Don't leave here without Him. Don't leave here without Him. Don't leave here without Him. Heads bowed, eyes closed, those are the altar. And those in their seats doing the same thing, because many of you may still be seated. Make a daily habit of emptying yourself and allowing yourself to be filled with Him. Make that a daily practice. Less of me, more of You, Jesus. Make it a daily practice to keep a short account through the power of the Holy Spirit. If He reveals things, repent of them, turn, let them go, release them, and ask Him to fill you and use you and flow out of you. Flow out of you.
Thank you for tuning in to this message from More to Life Ministries. If you would like to learn more about our mission of seeing lives transformed by Jesus Christ, please visit our website at m2lministries.com.